20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am Steve Perhatch, joined weekly by Dusty Evely, Sarah Kelleher. What is going on, guys?
Nothing, Steve. I'm excited. Excited about football.
I'm excited, too. I don't know if I'm excited as Dusty is, but I'm excited.
OTA, Steve. Arr!
Why do you take the fun out of everything? Seriously, we just started and you're being a dick already.
No, okay. I'm trying to listen. I don't know where the happy medium is, Steve. You complain that I'm listless to start the show, that I'm not excited. So then I try to amp it up and then you think I'm being condescending. I don't know the middle ground.
Dusty, come on, stop.
Positive thoughts turn into positive actions and positive everything else.
I've got one and I've got 11, Steve. I don't have anything in between. I don't know where it is.
I can tell when you're faking it. We are off to a stellar start. I love it. We have a lot to talk about today, actually. A lot of small different things, avenues we're going to go into. We're going to start with the fact that the future NFL draft sites have been announced today. There's three of them that have been announced. We still have a TBD for 2022, but in progression, we've got 2020 in Las Vegas, which Sarah told us earlier was going to be lit. I think that's right. I think that's how she said it. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. 2021 is the Toilet Bowl of Cleveland. Awesome. 2022, TBD, but I actually heard rumors of Los Angeles for that one. Yep. And then 2023 is confirmed as Kansas City. So we kind of jump in. I mean, your initial reactions, and then I want to take a little dive in. I know the Packers have put in bids to host the NFL draft, which I think would be awesome. I want to see if you guys actually think it would happen. Sarah, do you want to lead us off and tell us how lit Las Vegas is going to be?
I think Las Vegas is a great place for the draft to be. There's just a lot of stuff to do, a lot of things going on, plenty of hotels for people to stay at. I think we saw in Nashville, there was like so much activity going on, so many things to do. Just, it was almost like chaotic, but in a good way. And that's like the perfect way to describe Las Vegas. So I think it's very interesting that it's going to be there. I think it'll be successful. I think it'll draw a lot of people. The new stadium is also opening that year because the Oakland Raiders are going to be moving to Las Vegas in 2020. So that's something to note. That will probably be either finished or very, very close to being done. So people will be able to see that, kind of get a look at what that's going to look like. And I think it's a good idea.
Dusty, do you have a smart ass comment about the NFL draft or do you want to?
I don't. I honestly, the draft sites, I don't know, don't concern me too much. It seems fine. Like, I'm not gonna be able to afford to go anyway, so it doesn't matter. I'll just watch for my TV and the stage will look roughly the same, and that's fine.
No, I mean you're right, it doesn't matter. I like that they move it around. I think that's a really smart business decision. It's great for NFL fans to have it all over the country, so everybody hopefully gets an opportunity to go someday.
You get wider fan bases able to boo Goodell. It's not just Jets fans anymore. You get like people from all over the country. Like, it's a really cool way to like for everyone to come together.
Yeah,
and it's amazing. I think it's great.
It's hilarious because we see in politics, sports, literally everything, people from every state and every region and every area of the country, they can never agree on anything. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, everyone can collectively agree to boo Roger Goodell. Mm-hmm. And no matter where the draft is, that seems to happen. So that's interesting.
It's heartwarming. Yeah, you're right, Sarah.
I have no doubt that will happen in 2020 through 2020.
Oh, it will happen in every single one, and he will laugh all the way to the bank because he is making like $50 million a year. He's like, bring it on. But I digress. So we also want to talk because it also came out that the CBA is apparently already under talks. The NFL and the NFLPA are actually being civil. They're moving and progressing. They've had some good talks, which we're all kind of shocked by. Mm-hmm. And apparently Dusty has a joke that he would like to put along with that. So Dusty, the floor is all yours.
Well, this, uh, wow. this is all I've got. You know, it's really, it's awesome that it's progressing. I think it's great. We don't want another lockout. You know, we've gone through that before. It's no fun. My main concern is it's in, they're in Minnesota right now, kind of talking about this. So what I'm really excited to watch, or not excited to watch, I guess, is just, it's all going well now. Everything's looking great, man. Everything's looking awesome. And they're going to find a way to blow it in terrible fashion at the last minute. So I just know that's what's going to happen. See, it wasn't terrible. I told you guys it wasn't bad. I said relevant. I said it was relevant to this podcast.
It was.
So.
Great comparison.
I will get that's it. That was better than I thought it would be.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I was. A little
I literally thought that I would need. We'd need to insert the rim shot.
I was going to say someone could, but I think I edit this thing and I'm not going to do that. So
you do. And I wouldn't expect you to do that because I asked you one time to cut something out and you just kind of shake your head like, yeah, I don't do that. I don't do that. I just ship it off to Andy and we go.
That's.
I just catch up the sound a little bit.
Yeah, every now and then I do. I'm busy, Steve. I'm tired, you know.
All you had to do, I called you dustily. All you had to do was cut it. All you had to do was cut your name from somewhere else, and it would have been fine. You could have pasted right over it. It would have been great, but no.
Actually, the reason I didn't do that is because I've gotten a lot of weird nicknames and a lot of weird mispronunciations of my name and spellings over the years. I've never gotten that one, and I thought it was hysterical.
I pronounced Dusty wrong. Like, by looking at it on a piece of paper. I can understand if you're, like, talking fast on the podcast and you accidentally are, like, dustily, but, like, if your name was on, like, a piece of paper and I read it out loud, I don't know how I would.
Well, I've gotten, my last name gets it a lot, and when people type out my name, I used to work at a bookstore, and they'd write up right about the schedule, and I get Dis2, because those, some of those letters are close together. So I've gotten those, so I've picked up weird nicknames like that, but I've never heard Dustily. I liked it, and I kept it in. It wasn't laziness on my part, Steve. It was an appreciation, because I didn't hate the nickname.
Well, that's very good to know. Very good to know. The Packers have been busy. OTAs have been going on. Rodgers had a good portion of time where he talked to the media, and Dusty, I just want to turn this over to you, because he discussed his Game of Thrones appearance, and he actually was spewing some fire from what I understand. Yeah. I don't watch Game of Thrones. Did you see what I did there? The dragons and spewing fire.
I didn't, but thank you for spelling it out for me, Steve.
Well, sometimes I know you're not too smart.
Thank you.
But please drop us some knowledge. Tell us all about the. Do we need to do a spoiler thing? Like, if they haven't seen the end of Game of Thrones, they should turn off the podcast for a minute.
You know what? Nah, I thought about it. I'm not going to jump into that. Just kind of general reaction. I mean, first of all, the interview that it was taken towards the end of a full interview, and the full interview was about, you know, 14 minutes at his locker, and the whole thing. If you guys haven't got a chance to watch it yet, watch it. It's tremendous. He kind of talks about some of the struggles of kind of learning a new system after all this time. And I even dropped I think Tim Boyle is ahead of him in like a formations quiz. And so he's got to kind of button down cause he doesn't want Tim Boyle to beat him at that. Kind of, you know, talking about, you know, a lot of the new guys in, like, the whole interview is great. And he's, you know, he gets a lot of hate, especially last year, for the way he responded to certain questions and body language and all that stuff. Through the whole thing, he was just his affable self. The whole interview is great. But he closes off with the Game of Thrones stuff, kind of starts off talking about who he actually was, because we talked about that last week, how no one was really sure who he was. So he kind of confirmed who he was, which was cool. And then after that, he just they basically asked him if he liked the ending, and his response was tremendous. He just sat there for a second because he knew a week ago he was on the show. He obviously, like, knew the creators because they walk him through some stuff. They contacted him to be on it. He kind of takes a beat and he's, no, I know I didn't like it. Why would I have liked that? And then he kind of gets into about a five minute thing of why he didn't like it, kind of how everything ended up and why it was dumb the way that ended up. And I'm sitting the whole time, like, it was almost verbatim what I had been talking to someone at work about. Like, the how it ended, the ending was dumb, who ended up sitting on the Iron Throne was dumb, and the reasons why that person was picked for the Iron Throne was dumb. And so I'm listening to him talk about this, and then he's even spewing theories about the person who ended up on the Iron Throne and how they kind of navigated themselves there. And I was like, yeah, no, this is, like, the same thing I said. So it's, like, listening to it was tremendous because, it's Aaron Rodgers. It's like one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen in my entire life. he's out there just talking about Game of Thrones, just like with passion, just with passion and obvious knowledge of it. That was just a lot of fun. And he kind of, you know, was joking around, and I just listening to him talk about it was tremendous. And I agreed with pretty much every single thing he said. There's one thing I disagree with him on, kind of, that I don't want to get into here. But yeah, it was, I don't know. The whole thing was amazing. If you watch Game of Thrones and you haven't watched that portion of the interview yet, watch it. It's amazing, and he's on point with everything because he's Aaron Rodgers and he's super smart.
And even if you don't watch Game of Thrones, I would still watch it because it's like you just never get to see him be that candid. I feel like he was so into it and passionate about it, and it almost, like, when I was watching it, kind of brought a smile to my face because he was so excited about something that wasn't the playbook, football, and, you know, getting heat for something that he said or not being a good leader and or anything along those lines. So to kind of see him, like, be happy and really passionate and into something that wasn't necessarily football related was really unique, and I hope is something that we see more into the future.
Yeah, I feel like you got a really good feel of his personality. I really, really dug that. And it's been a while since we've kind of seen him like that. So it was kind of awesome.
I can almost guarantee that we're never going to see that reaction out of him because he's never going to get invited to be a cameo on anybody else's show.
He was in The Office. That's a lie. He was in The Office.
No. I said he's never going to be invited.
And I think it was a good show. I think Steve was talking about a good show, Sarah.
Oh. How do I get off this podcast? Where's the hang up button?
Can I mute Dusty? How can I mute Dusty?
Just fine without you. If you've got to jump off, that's cool.
Wow. Okay. Wow. First you attack a show I like, then you say you won't even care if I leave.
This has taken a turn. This has taken a turn real quick.
Today. Yeah.
I just thought it was very interesting to say. Be so happy, and like he was so proud that he was on the show. And
What I take that to mean is that, like, he's not afraid to follow his convictions. He's not going to be swayed by something just because someone gave him a role. He's going to be honest. Like, you could see him think about it in his mind. Like, is this worth it? Then he's like,
There was no giving. You know, he had to go out and ask for that. There's no giving. They didn't say, you know, who we need to go get for Game of Thrones is Aaron Rodgers.
He was talking about one of my favorite things. He was talking about because he went, I can't remember where he went. It was overseas. To film it, where they were filming it, and they were like, "What was it like over there? Like, how are the people?" And they were like, "He was like, nobody knew who I was." He's like, "I rode in a cab." He's like, "I'm walking around." He's like, "It was like not a single person had any idea who I was because no one cares about football."
Didn't he say he went to like a Packer bar and there were like six people in there?
I don't recall hearing that, but I was at work when I was watching it, so it's possible I just missed that.
We'll get you guys talking about OTAs. And your initial reaction, I'll do a quick search, but I'm pretty positive I saw that he went to a bar and there was like a Packer bar and there was like six people in it. But OTAs are going on. Mm-hmm. I've got my opinion as to what OTAs are, and I just want to get your initial reactions as to what's been going on for the Packers in shorts and underwear and t-shirts for the last couple of days. Why don't, Dusty, tell me what you've noticed so far and what you've gleaned from the Packers OTAs.
Yeah, I mean, I watched like a minute and a half of blocking drills half speed with no pads today. So I have a sickness. I didn't enjoy it, but I watched it anyway. So I couldn't tell much except like, oh, Lucas Patrick seemed to hold his ground better than Jason Spriggs, but it doesn't really tell you anything. But I watched it, so there's that. The one thing I really, really liked was there was a quote from Tremont Williams on Darnell Savage. I believe it was after their first session. I'm actually just going to read it. He says, you know, it's funny with Darnell. Even before he stepped on the field, I recognized how smart the kid was. Now, most rookies, you don't see that right away. Like, you wonder, okay, can he pick this up? Can he do this? Can he do that? But, man, the kid pretty much knows what we've done, what we done put in already. He's asking for more. You don't get that from rookies asking for things already. That's just not what rookies do. And then he goes on a little bit after that, and it's kind of more of the same. I thought that was kind of tremendous. You know, Tremont's a guy, I don't recall, you know, he's been around for forever. I don't recall him talking this way about a rookie before. Like, I don't think he's a guy that necessarily goes around just saying, this guy's amazing. I've never seen a rookie do this before. So this seems like high praise from Tremont. And then also it gets me super excited for Savage out there because, I mean, obviously out of a free safety, you need a guy who's willing to put in the work, who's smart, he's willing to learn, he kind of wants to get more into the system. He's got those kinds of questions. So to kind of hear Tremont Williams say that about the rookie free safety who's going to be playing a big, big, and we talked about this last week, like one of the, like the guy who's probably going to be maybe the only surefire first-year starter in this draft class in a big position of need. To hear that praise from a guy like Williams is huge. So that's my big takeaway from OTAs is I was excited about Darnell Savage already, and just hearing Jamal Williams talk about him has just got me beyond excited to see him on the field.
I got really excited, too, about the fact that they didn't mess around and, you know, start him with the third team and things like that. Yeah. They put him with the ones right away.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, this is our guy. And I mean, I think they even talked, Patton was talking earlier today and said how, you know, he imagines that Savage is going to be the free safety type and Amos is going to be the strong safety, but he really likes they're interchangeable. And that's something that's very important in his system and how both those guys can interchange into those positions. And I mean, it's just one of those things. You just like it gets you. Like I'm jacked up a little bit. I want to see some football.
For sure, for sure.
All right, Sarah, what'd you see?
I saw a quote from Aaron Rodgers. Speaking of Aaron, about Billy Turner. So, as many of you listening probably already know, Packers signed Turner to a 4-year, $28 million deal in free agency. He was previously playing for the Broncos, and is a right guard, and he was there today in the OTAs, and Rodgers, I'll read the quote kind of like how Dusty did, said, "The guy I have to say I'm really excited about is Bill at right guard. Just his presence in the huddle, he's a big dude, a no-nonsense guy, but also has a great sense of dry humor. He's been a great addition to our group. As a quarterback, the protection is important, as I look across the line, I feel great about that five." I think that's huge. There was a lot of times last season where you could literally see it through Rodgers' helmet, how frustrated he was with that group of guys at times. You know, people were hurt, there was no protection, everything was going wrong at times. And so the fact that right off the bat, I mean, we're literally in OTAs right now, he has a guy that already immediately he feels he has a connection to, can get along with, is also a fun guy, you know, lighthearted. I think that's something huge to take away. And I think it's a huge positive thing that comes out of OTAs. And we were talking a little before we got on about, you know, do OTAs have that much of a benefit? But maybe this is something where they really, this in particular, is beneficial, because now once they start mini camps and other training sessions, Rodgers is going to know right away, this is a guy I can trust, a guy I can challenge, and who can also challenge me as a quarterback.
Yeah,
I think, I mean, OTAs, I think they suck. I think they're stupid. I think they shouldn't be happening. If you're telling me that there's things in May that these guys have that they can't figure out in mini camps and training camps, they can't figure these things out by then. Like you don't need these extra days. This is just an opportunity for people to get hurt. The NFL teams want their players to come in so they can make sure they're not getting too fat in the off season. They give them the piddly bonuses to make sure that they come in and do those things. I mean, Reuben Foster already tore his ACL. Now, don't get me wrong. I think Reuben Foster sucks as a person. And as soon as I saw that he tore his ACL, I did the Elmo shrug of like, meh, don't really care that much. Like, doesn't bug me. Doesn't bug me that he tore his ACL as a horrible human being. But on the flip side, there's Dusty, I think we already talked about it too. There's somebody else that broke their foot. I saw another injury that came out. So there's already three injuries that happened in OTAs that don't need to happen. They don't need to happen. Like, these are NFL players. They're professionals. They should be able to do these things in mini camps and training camps. And those are the more important things than getting guys in. And I feel like that it's just pointless. I love football, and I'm in a weird, as stupid as it sounds, like I'm happy that it's back and I'm happy that we're talking about it and we have things to talk about, but it's just such a risk for injury for everybody.
It's okay that you're a miserable person, Steve. It's okay that you hate fun things. That's cool, man. That's fine.
OTAs are fun?
Yeah. What? Sure. Why not?
How is that fun?
I'm having fun. Watching, sitting, reading about stuff on my couch. I'm having fun, Steve. Isn't it about me? Isn't that what this is about? I was not listening to your thing.
That's what the whole podcast is about, is Dusty having fun.
Yeah, I wasn't listening to what you were saying, Steve, so I assume that you made terrible points.
Oh, my God. If I could punch you through a computer, I would.
Yeah, they did it in Ghost Dad, so if you can just figure out whatever science they used for that, just have right at it, Steve.
All right. So we got a lot. I'm just going to move on because you're annoying the crap out of me. So we're just going to move on. There's a lot of the coaches that came out and talked for the Packers. You know, Patton was talking, LaFleur was talking, and the guy that I freaking love is, and I'm so excited the Packers got him, is Mike Smith, outside linebackers coach. And Dusty, I'm just going to toss it to you because you kind of went in depth and you watched the whole talk. Watch everything he said, but like, you just listen to that guy, and I kind of want to play outside linebacker.
It's, man, I mean, what, Fackrell had double digit sacks.
You wouldn't end well, but I kind of want to play outside linebacker.
Fackrell got double digit sacks. I think you could do okay, Steve.
Exactly. I think
you could do fine. You're as good as Fackrell. Yeah, I mean, you know, we were hyped about that hire when they hired him, and you're right, Steve. I mean, I didn't, you know, I'm not watching press conferences for the linebackers coach in Kansas City. So I didn't really get a good feel of his personality, but yeah, I love listening to him, love watching him. The one thing that really stood out that I thought was tremendous was just the, he compared Rayshon Gary to a combination of Dee Ford and Justin Houston, who he coached in Kansas City last year. And that's one of those things, you know, when you first read it, you're like, well, he's blowing smoke. And I'm sure there's an aspect to it of that, but like, he also could have said, like, I don't know, like, he's good. He's a good rookie. He's going to be good for us. He's going to do a lot of good things. I like his athleticism. We're going to be able to use him. Like, he could have given some generic answer. Like, throwing that stuff out there. And I think he also said he had Gary, you know, he didn't have any say in the draft process. But he had Gary as his number one defensive prospect on the board in the draft. And they got him. I don't think just listen to him. I don't know. I want to run through a brick wall and maybe he's selling me a bill of goods. I don't know, but he sounded sincere. And so having him hype that much for Gary gets me. I mean, like I talked about with Savage, I'm more hyped for Savage. I'm also more hyped for Gary now. Like, just listening to him talk about Rayshon Gary is very exciting. Very exciting.
I think the best part about him too was he kind of went through how he doesn't read anybody else's scouting reports. He thinks that's stupid. He wants to watch the tape. He wants to form his own opinion. He wants all. And for, I kind of was digging that. I was just said, mm-hmm. Oh, that's different. Like every. Oh, come on, Sarah.
Sorry.
You and your stupid cold ruined my cake. All right, let's move on. Sarah ruined it all.
Sorry.
Nah, I'm just
if you start back at the top, I actually can edit that out, Steve. If you start back where you were, just
I
after
I
no, I do sometimes. I edit out awkward silences and me making odd noises. That's what I edit out.
I think that's good. I think we just keep this all in.
Okay,
I mean,
that's fair.
That's way more on brand for us than editing something out. So
look behind the door.
We'll wrap it up. I like Mike Smith. I'm digging what he's talking about, and I think he's going to be a great, great fit for the outside linebacker coach. Another interesting note for the Packers, they actually put in a waiver claim on the former Jets tight end Jordan Leggett. They didn't actually get him, but I just thought it was really interesting with the tight end room that they have. They actually put in a waiver claim for a young tight end still. Like, I get it, but I mean, you've got Graham, you got Lewis, you've got Tanyan, you've got Sternberger. Where's the room? Is that a sign they're ready to move on from Lewis already, or I mean they're not keeping five tight ends.
I'm a little concerned with that because it's kind of confusing. Like you said, why are we doing this? It seems like there's enough spots, there's enough guys, but we're still trying to get a guy off waivers. So it kind of makes me raise my eyebrows a little bit. Are we not liking what we're seeing already in OTAs? Are there things going on that we don't know about, maybe personality-wise, or players clashing with coaches? Do they not like the new playbook? Really anything. So I don't know exactly what the issue is, but it does concern me a little bit that we're still looking for that right now.
Yeah, I mean, it could just be like camp body, but I mean, you look at those guys they got. They got, you know, Jimmy Graham. At this point, I'm thinking Graham and Lewis are locks. You know, Graham, if they didn't want Graham, they could have cut him earlier, and then they're not on the hook for the money that they're on the hook for now. Lewis, they signed for a one-year deal, clearly wanted him back. Sternberger was a third-round pick. You know, he's obviously not going anywhere. which kind of leaves Tanyan, who I had super high hopes for because he flashed a little last year and he worked out this offseason with George Kittle from the Niners. So like you said, Steve, I love those four guys. And Sarah, like you said, like is there something there we don't really know about? Or is it just we kind of like this guy. Maybe he'll show us something. Maybe not. Who knows? We'll put in a claim for him. Like, there's no way to know, but that tight end position seems like those four guys are the four guys that they're going in with. It's weird that they're looking there. It could be something, and I hope it doesn't mean that Tanyan's not showing much, because I really have high hopes from this year. But, you know, it also could just be nothing at all.
Are you trying to piss off Andy, or is that like...
I said something nice about Tim Boyle earlier, and so I feel like it's evening out at this point. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's just very interesting because it just seems to continually tell you more about Goody than Ted Thompson of that bottom half of the roster. Yeah. Is something he is not comfortable with, just undrafted free agents. He is not comfortable with status quo. It's reminiscent to me of like going to baseball, to the Brewers, of David Stearns, of if I can continually make my roster better, I don't care how it's going to happen, I'm going to make it happen. And if he feels that he's better than the fifth tight end that they have right now on their 90 man, then he's just going to do that. So I don't find it concerning. I just thought it was noteworthy that it's something that they're still looking at. So I like the fact that he's continually trying to manipulate the 90 man while they go at it. And I'm excited to kind of see where they go with it.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about it too much, because I know we're running long here, but I do want to say that if you all don't have a subscription to The Athletic, you probably should. But also Michael Cohen had a good article this past week, I think just a couple days ago, about Gutekunst's strategy about building that bottom of the roster versus Thompson. That he kind of went in fairly deep on that. That was a just tremendous article. So if you've not read that, Cohen did that on The Athletic this past week. That was good read. And I mean, you know, that team over there is great. So that's all I've
look
got
at
to
you,
say.
Look at you guys. Sarah last week pumping like some random snack Instagram thing, and you pumped The Athletic even though you're not part of it. That's good. That's a very nice of you guys.
Look at us. Look at us.
Hopefully they paid us to endorse them, right?
That's true. Exactly. I still haven't gotten any free snacks, by the way, Sarah, so I'm a little upset about that.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all right.
Well, we're still by the way, if anybody is able to find the combos that have the pretzel with the vanilla frosting in them, please let Dusty know. We hit the search all over southeastern Wisconsin and wherever the hell Dusty is, I don't even know.
Central Kentucky.
There you go. I mean, there's nothing there. Like, it's just grass and fields and stuff. So
I had to drive an hour to the nearest gas station and they didn't have them. And so where do I go from here, Steve?
Gas station is an hour away.
Oh,
from
no, I'm trying to play up to the stereotype. I live close to the city. I'm 30 seconds from a gas station. I'm 10 minutes from a Walmart. If that gives any people any landmarks.
We have decided though, cause we've been searching for combos and a fair amount. And we have decided that apparently Combos is now a gas station food only. Like they don't have the Targets
and Dollar Walmart. Store. No, Walmart doesn't have them. Dollar Store does.
Okay, I stand by it. They're gas station food. We wanted to end on a fun note because normally Dusty will join me and not ever have anything he wants to talk about. He just leaves it all to me to create content, to do all these things. So all of a sudden Dusty sends me and Sarah a message saying he's got four things he wants to talk about, and I was very excited. Yep. So Dusty wants to end the show by talking about Matt LaFleur's playlist. So came out and had some AC/DC, some Guns N' Roses, some Aerosmith, which is pretty cool. It's a change of pace. So Dusty, you want to lead us into your theoretical question.
I'm an old man, but that's old man hair metal nonsense. Like it's cool that they're playing that stuff, but it could be cooler, right? I mean, I don't want to listen to Aerosmith, man. Like, not when I'm working out. I don't listen to Aerosmith. I want to listen to something else.
Do you want to listen to the Beatles?
Maybe, man. Listen, I got a Beatles song on a workout playlist. I'm not ashamed. I sure do. Ugh. It's all too much. Friggin' bangs, Steve. So anyway, So my question is, and this is, you know, I just talked about old man hair metal, and then I'm probably going to mention some old man stuff as well. But, it, you know, got me thinking of if you could sneak into the booth, not even sneak in the booth, if they gave you one song, they said, you, Steve Perhatch, you, Sarah Keller, you get to pick out one song for them to work out to. What is your song? So I've got a couple to close out, but I want you guys to lead us off. So Steve, if you get one song or even a couple songs, you know, you don't have to be strict. What songs are you picking?
I normally, when it comes to working out and things like that, I normally need, you know, up tempo kind of stuff. So I normally lean towards like hip hop rap. So yeah. I would tell you, I would go some Outkast. Mm. I would do some Kanye. One of the ones that always kind of normally will end my workout when I'm, you know, if I'm running and I need to get some actual energy when I'm about to die because I'm old and way overweight. Sure. I normally will end with Till I Collapse by Eminem.
Oh, that's on mine.
Yes.
That one can always,
that's a good one.
That gets me back going. And then I will tell you if I'm going to mess with the Green Bay Packers and the last song of the day is going to be some NSYNC, I would play some Bye Bye Bye, you know, ended out pretty well. That is actually my ringtone for my phone. And, you know, I like it. It's always a good boy band is never a bad thing. And if you tell me that you don't like NSYNC and that you don't like Bye 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 and you don't dance to that at a wedding, I will call you a liar to your face.
No, we've been through this. I do not like NSYNC. I'm Team Backstreet Boys, but this is your time. You pick the songs. There's no judgment for me. It's fine, Steve. It's fine. Sarah, you get one or two songs. What do you got?
Okay, on a serious note, I would do the song What's Up Danger, which you've probably heard but didn't know that you heard. So if you've ever seen the movie Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, great movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is the scene
coming to Netflix very soon.
Yes, ooh. I'm very excited. It's the scene where Miles Morales is like becoming Spider-Man and he like gets the suit and they're like telling him, they're like, it just takes a leap of faith. It's the song that's playing during that.
Okay.
So that song is on my workout playlist. Gets me really pumped up. Oh, actually, I have another serious one. Okay. Another serious song I would play is Portals from the Avengers soundtrack. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's also on my workout playlist.
Yeah.
And then on like...
You guys are so cool. You're so cool.
You said in sync, Steve. Sit down.
On a funny note, I think I would play, if I wanted to mess with them, I think I would do Baby Shark. And I would just want to see all the reactions. I feel like there would be some really good dancing going on. Maybe some people with, like some of the players with kids would know the words and get really into it. So that's what I would do as like a funny one. I'd want to see their reactions.
All right. I've got, I had too many. I had a really hard time whittling this down. So I was going rock at first. Steve, you kind of awakened something to me with hip hop. So I'm going to get to that. But I was going between, you guys listen to My Bloody Valentine. You know My Bloody Valentine?
No.
Sarah doesn't. I'm not asking. I'm not asking you, Sarah. My Bloody Valentine was early shoegaze. 91, they put out Loveless, which is an absolute classic. If you've not heard Loveless... Listen to Loveless. The thing belongs in a museum. It's just tremendous guitar textures. I've still have not heard anything like it. Shoegaze is up and down for me. Loveless is bonkers good. The first track on that is called Only Shallow. And it kicks off like legitimately one of my favorite openings to any song ever. So just like that, it kind of mellows out as it goes. But I could see that one kicking in. And like that might be my number one. I think that'd be amazing. I don't know how well it would go over. Because it'd get halfway through, people would be like, I don't know what's happening right now. But the beginning, just play legitimately, just like the first 30 seconds of Only Shallow on a loop for 3 minutes. And man, some stuff will happen. Some stuff will happen. So I was thinking about that. I was thinking about Pixies. Go back Pixies. Also same era off Trompe Le Monde. Planet of Sound. Just screaming. Just friggin'
is it bad
screaming.
That I don't know what these are?
It's bad. I mean, but My Bloody Valentine I get because that's...
You've heard of the Pixies though, right?
You gotta know the Pixies, right?
I've heard of them.
Pixies, like...
I couldn't, if their song was on the radio and someone was like, do you know who's singing this? I wouldn't know. but I've heard of the name.
I need to give you homework because this makes me sad. This whole thing's making me sad. My Bloody Valentine, I get. They're a little more underground-ish, I guess, or niche. Pixies influenced rock in a way that has...
Oh, God, are we just, going into the influencing of music?
Listen, man, all I'm saying is, everyone knows Nirvana, right? Everyone knows Nirvana?
Yes.
Nirvana essentially cribbed their style from Pixies. And Nirvana influenced how many groups? And they were very influenced by the Pixies. So I'm saying, just listen to Doolittle. Just listen to Doolittle. Anyway, I'm getting off topic here. Planet of Sound off Trompe Le Monde. Friggin' just, it's 2 minutes of just sheer rock, and I think that would hype some guys up. I mean, I was gonna go like something funny, like I was gonna go like Cher, If I Could Turn Back Time, I thought that'd be a good one. I was gonna go with some modern Carly Rae Jepsen, because she's just tremendous. Like if you go like Boy Problems off Emotion, which would be amazing. But I'm gonna go
Carly Rae Jepsen, isn't she the one that sings Call Me Maybe?
Yeah, if you're only listen to the one thing everyone knows, Sarah. If you're not diving into her catalog, Sarah.
She sings that one song that's called I Really, 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 Really Like You too.
Yeah. That's her. I know.
Oh, that was a deeper dive.
Did I say too much? Yeah, you're right, Sarah. That is her. Yeah, she's got some hits. You're right. She's got some hits.
She's got some bangers.
She's got some bangers. I'm going to go with my song. If you guys know this one, it's Ghostface Killah's The Champ off of Fish Scale. Fish Scale, one of the best hip-hop albums ever. They sample in some... it's not exactly, but basically they sample in something that sounds an awful lot like Mr. T from Rocky III, calling out Rocky. You get some Just Blaze production with just horns blaring. You got Ghostface Killah at his most Ghostface Killah. If you listen to The Champ and don't get amped up, there's something wrong with your face. I'm talking to you, Sarah. There's something wrong with your face if you don't like Ghostface Killah.
You're
going
to have to send me these links.
I'm so going. I will. I'm going to post them right after this. I'm going to put them up on Twitter. I'm going to tag you in all of them.
Okay.
So you can listen to these.
Okay.
Because they're friggin' awesome. So that's what I got. So we got NSYNC's Bye Bye Bye. We've got Sarah. What was your official pick? Was it Portals? Or Gimme Danger? Gimme Danger. What's Up Danger?
Well, yeah. No. NSYNC was not my official pick.
No, that's what I took from that, Steve.
Okay.
Well, what's you that? Didn't name an official song. What's your Outkast song? You got. What's that?
Till
I Collapse. That's right.
To Bring Me to Life by Evanescence. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
I'm not.
Okay.
Okay,
that was your good. That was a good one, Sarah. All right. That's good. That's a solid 3-song run to close us out. I feel good about this. Thanks, guys. Thanks for humoring me.
No, I do. Well, actually, I do appreciate that none of you brought up the diarrhea song because we had a whole conversation beforehand and I was sitting on like pins and needles and like son of a bitch, they're going to say it. They're going to do it.
And now it's you. You're embarrassing yourself now, Steve.
Yeah, it's more, it's easier for me when I do it to myself as opposed to if you guys would have like,
fair.
I've actually said like, it would be really funny if the Packers played the diarrhea song. So just very, very quickly, I sent this to Dusty and Sarah the other night was a peek behind the curtains of my life of I was sitting at dinner with my wife, my 4-year-old daughter and my almost 1-year-old son. And my wife and daughter were singing the diarrhea song and it's just so ridiculous. And what of those things that it's hilarious, but I still was like, it's a dinner table. Come on. Like it's a dinner table. It's not,
oh,
we know this
time.
Is a dinner, but no, they were enjoying it. And, Sarah and Dusty were having a good laugh about it. And Sarah actually, was legit crying before.
Had us both in tears. Had us both in tears.
Because of the word diarrhea. So
it was the context of which it was used. I know I'm young, but I'm not like 6 where if I hear the word, like I just bust out laughing, but it was the context. And
no, it was good.
Yeah.
So to get everybody to laugh, the one version of the song that my daughter does know. So if you imagine a little 4-year-old girl singing, when you're climbing up a ladder and you feel something splatter diarrhea. So there you go. She has a.
See, I always knew the
go-to line.
I always knew the sliding into.
Line for that?
I like that if you're sliding into first and you feel a sudden burst. Like I know the base, the baseball version. I know.
No,
I don't know the ladder one. That's not Ben.
Is there a millennial version to this that we don't know, or do you just know those two lines?
Yeah, Sarah, do you have a diarrhea version song that you know?
No, I honestly hadn't heard of it until I looked it up last night.
This This generation, Steve. Oh, this generation.
Okay, and now you also have to tag her on the Chappelle show where he gets the choir to do it, to sing the diarrhea song.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, no, that's good. We'll tag her on that one, too.
So. All right, you got a lot of homework to do tonight, sir.
Yeah, I was going to watch TV after this, but I guess I'm just going to watch all these videos.
Eat some Oreos, listen to the diarrhea song, and then listen to some Dusty songs.
You know, Wednesday night. You know what you're doing on Wednesdays.
Typical Wednesday. I think that should officially wrap us up. It should. That should be about everything. I think we covered about as much as we can. We will be back next week. As always, we will break down the Packers. We will break down stupid stuff that nobody needs to hear about, but hopefully we bring a little joy and a little humor into your life. So we try to have as much fun as we can with this. So especially in the off season, there's nothing to talk about. Nothing to talk about. But Dusty, Sarah, it's been fun. We'll catch you guys next week. As always, catch Dusty on Twitter. You're at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Kelleher.
Four.
Okay. I was going to say one, but at Sarah Kelleher, four, at Steve Perhatch. And then make sure to follow us at the Packaday Podcast. We will be back for Sarah, for Dustily. I'm Steve.
Nailed it.
Go Pack, go.
One kick away from the NFC Championship game from the 41. Left taskbar, 51-yard field goal attempt. Snap, placement, kick to the uprights. And it is right to the end. It is good. And the Packers are going to the NFC Championship game.
And what a happy bunch of green.